I'd like to welcome everyone to Spotlight. Spotlight is an event on our site in which we interview a member of For the People, learn a little bit more about them, their life, and their life experiences. We appreciate everyone coming in today, and I'd like to, before we get started, thank Dennis for recording our program today for the purpose of archiving. I'll remind those new folks that there are archives of our Spotlight programs. If you'll go to the front page and click on the Galaxy of Stars link, you'll find a link in there for Spotlight, and there you'll find archives of all of our Spotlight interviews. I'll ask that you hold your questions for our guest today until the end of the interview. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jennifer Thomas to introduce her guest for today. Jennifer?
Thank you, Becky, and thanks for all you do with coordinating Spotlight. And thank you for Dennis, so I don't forget that at the end, for your recording and editing. It's a pleasure to interview Tracy Trefter today, and I think you'll find he's probably one of the most determined fellows I've ever met. And I think his story will show that. Tracy, great to have you with us today. You can tell folks hello, and then if you would start by telling us where and when you were born, that would be great.
Hello, everyone. My name's Tracy, and I was born April 7th of 1963, and I do lie about my age, even though I am 40. And I was born in a town called Great Falls, and I've lived in the state of Montana all my life. I've lived in different parts of the state throughout the years, but Montana is in the northwestern part of the United States, and it is the fourth largest state in the United States, but we have yet to reach the population of 1 million people in the entire state.
Yeah, but they're not counting jackrabbits and sidewinders. Tracy, tell us a little bit about your childhood. I know you're visually impaired. Were you born blind or with any disability? And brothers and sisters, that kind of thing. Just share with us as much as you would like to.
Okay, I'm the oldest of three. When I lost my sight a few years ago, when I was young, I had 20/10 vision. I actually at one time could see the lowest line on the eye chart, and as things occurred later on, I end up having no vision at all now. But I'm the oldest of three. I have a younger brother and a younger sister, and all three of us suffer from being diabetics for a number of years.
Oh my. Did you actually grow up in the town of Great Falls, or were you a country boy?
I grew up in a small town in western Montana called Big Fork, and perhaps some of you, if you ever should have a map explained to you, the biggest freshwater lake west of the Mississippi is called Flathead Lake, and I grew up on the small town of Big Fork right on the northeast end of Flathead Lake, and that's where I went to grade school and high school, and after that I moved to Missoula, which is in western part of Montana, to go to college after I had graduated from high school.
I have a feeling it's probably a beautiful country there, Tracy. All right, so you were not visually impaired. And when did you discover you were diabetic?
I first became diabetic just before my fourth birthday.
Your fourth birthday?
Yeah, I've been a diabetic for almost 37 years now, this coming January.
Do you feel it impacted very much your childhood, your school days, or how much and when you could play, or do you feel you kind of grew up a typical kid?
Oh, I would say mine was pretty typical because I, in all honesty, I knew how to take my insulin shots and test my blood sugar before I could tie my tennis shoes, so I was pretty independent even at a young age. So to me, it was a normal childhood. I've been taking blood sugar tests and insulin for so long, it's just part of my normal routine that if I were to wake up tomorrow and not take a shot, it'd probably throw my day off, to be honest.
I imagine. Did you like school, Tracy?
Well, I'll tell a little funny, amusing story here. When I was in kindergarten, the day I turned 6 years old, I actually walked to the first grade school and entered the class there, and they ended up having to call my mom to get her to come and pick me up to take me over to kindergarten, because at that time I felt I was old enough to be with the bigger kids then. So in the beginning I did like school, but as I got older I kind of got into that stage where school was fun, but I didn't want to do my homework and those unique things.
That sounds familiar. Yeah, Tracy was telling me during our pre-interview that his mother tried to convince him that day that he had to be in kindergarten, and he absolutely refused to go. So he went home his first day of school. Okay, Tracy, you've graduated from high school. And was there any major event during your high school and grammar school days that you'd want to touch on before we move on?
Well, the one that sticks out even after all these years is when I was 15, I first found out that I was going to start eventually having eye problems, and I learned that there was a chance I could lose my sight. But way back then, and I had the attitude, nah, it'll happen to someone else, it won't be me. Well, 6 years later, I came in for quite a rude awakening when I first learned I was going to have laser surgery on my left eye in my sophomore year of college.
Yeah, rough timing too. So you started college, and when you first started college, Tracy, what were your goals and your hopes? What were you hoping to be able to achieve with the degree you wanted?
When I first started college, I was going to become the next greatest CPA, and I loved accounting back then. But as my sight began to deteriorate and having problems, I eventually had to switch my degree to a business degree, which I did finish up and got in business, finance, and management. And even then, it was not exactly what I wanted to do, but it has led me down a very interesting path.
You please expound on some of this, but I'm not quite sure I have the chronology right. Your college career, and I think it may have taken you 5 or 6 years to complete your degree, but in that time, you got married, went blind, had a child, and somewhere along the line, you had an organ transplant. I can't believe that you managed to graduate in that. Even a six-year period, Tracy, my hat's off to you. But if you could keep the chronology straight and kind of tell us about those events, that would be great.
Okay. Well, it started in the spring of 83 when I went to the doctor, and he finally came to that decision where it was time for my first laser beam treatments on my left eye. And at that time, there wasn't any eye doctor set up with the laser beam that they've used over the years. So I had to go out to the University of Washington to have my first laser surgeries done. And I won't go into a lot of details, but when I was out there, when they go to deaden the eye, the person that was putting the deadener in around my eye and stuff, they struck a blood vessel. And that was the beginning of my loss of my sight in my left eye. And then it was later that fall that I eventually started having laser treatments on my right eye. And when I went to school that fall, I had 20/50 vision to 20/70 vision. It kind of depended on the day, but that was the beginning of what I consider kind of my challenging moment, because those of you who are diabetic and have had laser treatments know that when you go out in the bright sunlight without your sunglasses, it's almost a terrorizing moment to do. So I actually, when I was going to classes, I had my regular glasses with a clip-on pair of sunglasses, and then when I got to class, because of the laser treatments, it kind of messes up your up-close vision. So I end up having to wear two pair of glasses, one to see the chalkboard with to take notes with, and then I'd have to put on my reading glasses to make sure that I could read my own writing sometimes, and it was quite an interesting thing to go through. But as by the time January of 84 came around, my vision had gotten worse to the point where it was just basically low image vision, and I was classified as being legally blind. And during that time from 83 to 84 is when I was dating my current girlfriend at that time. And that summer in 84, when my vision got to the point where I couldn't see anymore, is when I first got to meet the state blow, line, and visual services here in the state. And their idea of training me was to keep me at home through the following school year and teach me my mobility and stuff. Now, to make this story a little more understanding, is that the office that these people came from was 100 miles from where I lived at the time. So they'd basically come up once a month and work with me for 4 or 5 hours and then would go home. And they wanted me to stay home with my mom at the time, and we lived about 10 miles out of town, so I basically would have had nothing to do. So that's when my determination kicked in, because I was buying determined that I was going to go back to school, not only to finish my school, but I wanted to be with my girlfriend at that time. And then it was that summer of 84 when the rest of my sight completely deteriorated in my right eye. And from there, my girlfriend and I at that time got married, and a year later, my son was born. So he was actually born about 10 months after I'd completely lost my vision. And then from that time, I went and graduated from college, and it wasn't until I moved to Billings, where I currently live now, where I started finding out that I was going to have the kidney transplant because of the diabetes later on. But that's kind of the order of time of how things kind of progressed in that time period.
Yeah, life sure happened to you during that period of time, Tracy. In our interview, we talked about how you had driven, actually, for several years, living out in the country. Kids often drove at a much earlier age. You want to talk about the impact of losing the ability to drive them at this point?
Well, I was, because of the state of Montana, we're able to get a driver's license at the age of 15, so I had a driver's license from the time I was 15 all the way. My second driver's license that I actually qualified for, I was still a legalized driver in the state of Montana in the year of 84, because it didn't expire until that fall. So I actually, even though I had no vision, I still was a legally licensed driver in the state of Montana. And that first few months, it was very frustrating for me, because I'm not a very patient person as I am today. Because of my blindness, my patience is more of a learned art than it was back then. I used to have a very short temper, and when things didn't go well, I used to like to jump in the car. And while in Montana, there's lots of open roads and lots of country where you can do some crazy things when you're at that young age to do. And even after 20 years of being blind now, there are still days where I get very frustrated because I can't just go out and get in the car by myself and let my hair down, as the expression goes, and hit the freeway and go for 20, 30 miles without having other people there to do it for me.
Yeah, I think most of us can relate to that, Tracy. Well, one of the things I find very fascinating about you, sir, is the determination you have exhibited about your employment, especially in an area with maybe less opportunities for work than more populated states. If you would just start at the beginning of your work history as a blind person and bring us up to the present, I think the story will flow very nicely. It's a It's a fascinating story.
Well, after I graduated from the University of Montana in Missoula, we moved to Billings because at that time my wife wanted to enter into the rehab program at what was then called Eastern Montana College, and it was the only program in the state of Montana. So when we first moved here, it was in the fall of 88, and that's when I began my long search for looking for a job. And for the first year and a half, I filled out application after application, and I had job coaches and the whole caboodle, and it just seemed forever. Once in a while, I get called in for an interview, but you could just sense as soon as you walked in and they saw the white cane, you got that, well, we're not going to talk long with this guy. But I finally worked my way in with a couple other people that were blind at the time, too, with a local long-distance phone company that used to do long-distance calls for a lot of the motels throughout the state and parts of Wyoming and south and north Dakota. So my first actual job was as I worked as a telephone operator, and it was set up on a very unique system. The guy that designed it basically took a desktop computer off the old DOS system and hooked it up with voice responses so that when the call came in, it would read the number off and would read the place it was from, and it would read different fields. So it actually wasn't any type technology that we're used to today where JAWS does the reading or Window Eyes or some of this. Whenever they added new numbers to the program, a visual person had to come in and record it into the memory banks of the computer. So it was actually a fascinating system at the time, but it was slow. And I worked there from the spring of 91 up until the spring of 93 when I switched jobs to working at our local Pizza Hut here. And in Billings at that time, if you ordered pizza for delivery, they had one number, and the order was taken on a terminal and then sent out to the appropriate store in the area that you were living at. So at that time, my job coach brought in another guy who was really good with computers, and at that time I was using a speech program called Flipper, and we used it, and my computer basically became a dummy terminal, but it allowed the screen to be read. So I started out as an order taker, and at the store where all the calls came in, I also pushed my way into working out into the kitchen in the morning. So I kind of did two things during the day. In the mornings, I'd help them prep dough and roll out small, large, and personal pans. And I was even there when the day that the stuffed crust pizza came into existence. It was kind of a unique thing to see when they put all that big cheese around the outside of the crust back then. But most of the time, my job was to be on the phone working with people. And after 6 months of working, I got annoyed at watching other people get moved up to a supervisory position. So I stuck my nose into the desk one day at the office and talked to the district manager and asked what the reason was. And she said she had noticed that I'd been overlooked. And that next day, they moved me up to a supervisor level, and for the next 3 years I was, not only did I teach sighted people how to take orders and things, but I did all their closing and opening things through quite a time period, and I actually did enjoy that job until they got to the point where they brought in a new manager where he and I clashed really big time. And even though I'd never proven it to this day, he was very intimidated by my gung-ho attitude and always wanting to learn more, and he didn't want to take the time to show someone without vision how to do things because he didn't want to have to take that extra few minutes to maybe figure out a way that might work for someone who can't see the little chart or something like that, or get someone to come in and help me braille it at the time. And then shortly after that, in the fall, February of 96, we finally had our big blowout, and I basically told them that the day they wrote me up for taking a $1,000 order for the store at the oil refinery, when I'd gotten permission the day before, I told them where they could stuff it. And then for the next year and a half, I took some time off because I really got depressed over just all the things that had gone on in my life, from the time of my divorce to sheltering myself into work, that I spent some time in therapy, which was basically to refine who Tracy was, to find out what I wanted to do next. And then in the summer of 98, that's when I started my job, where I'm still working at the movie theater. And at the movie theater, I use what's called the note taker, and it reads the bill to me, and then I just hand the person back their change. And I have a few braille marks on the cash register, but I basically just memorize the movie. And then my other part-time job, because of the love that I have for computers and playing with JAWS and stuff, I also work with an organization called Parents Let's Unite for Kids, which works with all forms of disabilities with kids and adults. And I basically teach new people who are just coming from visual loss or low vision loss. I'm the one who starts to educate them on how to use the keyboard and some of the programs that we've all used at different times now. And between the two jobs, it keeps me pretty busy all week long.
Okay, great. I want to back up, Tracy, to Pizza Hut and the new manager. Did he ever reference your blindness? Did he make discriminatory remarks? You and I had talked that you felt, you know, blindness was definitely an issue in his problems with you as an employee.
Yeah, it's been a while since I thought about it, but there were times where he made, I won't say he came right out and made references, but he insinuated that if I could see, I could do it better than I did at the time. But I will also state, in that three-year period that I was with Pizza Hut, the only write-up I ever got was the one for taking a $1,000 order, because he says I didn't have his permission for such a big order, which was then removed by the district manager at the time because it was her permission that I got, and since her decision overrides his, that was the only write-up in 3 years that I'd gotten. And every review I ever had, I had great appraisals, and most of them said anything from works beyond extent of need and skills that are required for the job.
Yeah, I know you really hated losing that job. $1,000 is a lot of pizza. How did you wind up landing this job with the movie house?
Well, that one, after I took some time off after I was through going through my emotional up and downs, I went to the Blind and Low Vision Services, and we contracted with a job coach service, and they basically went with me, and we began the routine of filling out job applications again. And at that time, when we'd go, I'd take my little laptop computer with me with JAWS and everything on there, so I could show people right then and there what I could do. Well, we happened to stop in the movie theater and saw that they were hiring, so the manager at that time was a really great guy. He was originally from Atlanta, Georgia, and he said, well, here's what we can do. He says, let's try it for a month, and we'll go from there. So we set up a job trial thing for a month, and, well, within 3 days, I was taking over pretty much a lot of the shifts that people didn't want to do, and within the end of that month, I had taken it over, and basically now I'm the main person that sells tickets all day Sunday, and then I work Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, and then I have Thursday, Friday free so I can work at my other job with my clients, and then that gives me Saturday off to do some of the things I still enjoy doing.
Are there any other blind people working at this movie house?
At the moment, not in the city of Billings. I know they're interested in trying to get a couple more people in the Carmike Corporation. I don't know if it'll happen here in town, but we have set up a good example for them to use. It's not really that hard. It's just a matter of getting used to dealing with wrinkled dollar bills once in a while to feed it into the little bill reader, because picture these little bill readers, think of a little calculator that has an opening like a pop machine when you slide your dollar in. And if the corner isn't just quite right, it'll kind of give you a funny look and says it can't read it. So once in a while it can be a frustrating piece of machine, but over 5 years I've learned its little ins and outs and know how to get it to work to my advantage. So it's a matter of learning patience, but also being stubborn and not walking away when you get frustrated at the thing. And I suppose sometimes it's really funny to watch people when they come in, because when they buy a ticket and hand me the money, I'll slide it into the machine, and their first thought is that I'm checking for counterfeit money. And then when they hear it talk, it's just funny to sense how big their eyes pop open. Because then it dawns on them that I can't see, because most of the time I've learned good enough control to look at most people when they come in, so they don't realize that I can't see when they first walk up. And it's just funny to experience that expression. And I just say this kind of a funny little joke, but I'm probably the only person that's ever heard what a watch is in my movie theater, because I have tons of people that come up and ask me the time. And it's just funny to watch them when they hear my little watch talk and tell them the time. I find a sense of humor in there that it takes the non-sighted person to tell the time to the sighted world.
Yeah, because I believe you said there's a real large clock right above you, right?
Yes, there is. It's about the size of what most of us know in our back in the days of school, that big clock you used to look at when you were hoping class would get out.
I guess that old adage, there's none so blind as those who will not see, applies here. Well, Tracy, you've definitely demonstrated stick-to-itness, I think, all your life, and I think you're a great example to many of us who maybe give up too easy for something we really want. Is there anything you'd like to bring out or discuss that we haven't covered in the interview today?
Oh, I just mostly like to say that I know there are still even times now where I get frustrated and I get really mad at the world in general, and I have to step back and take a deep breath. But I suppose in all honesty, part of my stubborn streak comes from, because when I was the beginning of my senior year, when my dad passed away because he gave up on life after he lost his sight, that I wasn't going to follow down that same path, because my son's 18 years old now and be graduating from high school, and I expect to be around for quite some time to see his accomplishments and things. And I suppose one of the things I would love to see, if it's ever developed more, is that I would love to see things set up more for parents that are blind that have to learn to deal with children when they're first young and stuff. It was quite a unique experience for me when my son was first born. I was lucky that I was in a stage where there was disposable diapers, or my poor son would probably have needle marks all over him if I ever had to pin a diaper on back at those times when he was young. But I made sure that I took as much of the duties of changing him and his daycare things too, and it would have been neat to have someone to ask advice for from time to time. So I think neat sites like For the People is a good place for some of these things that do seem to get overlooked.
Ah, great point. You and your son enjoy fishing together, is that right?
We go fishing, and between the two of us, we can probably tear just about anything electronical apart and put it back together. What he doesn't know, I seem to know, and vice versa. It was my internet skills actually came from what my son had taught me in the beginning. And it's actually kind of fun when he's here in the summertime, because when he's here at the summertime, I take him with me to work with some of my low vision people, because I know where to tell him where to go and stuff, but he's able to take that step further and show him how to look for it too in areas where I may not normally think about the screen, because I lost my vision before the mouse was even invented, so I can tell you how to work it. I can tell you where, in theory, it should be on the screen, but like two summers ago, we went up to a small town in Montana called Glasgow, and there's a lady that works for the Bureau of Land Management, and they have some interesting web pages that they make this poor lady work on, and she was just having a miserable time, so I went up and I showed her some of the basic steps with JAWS, how to get through them, but they came to a page that even bizarred me when I first looked at it, and because of having enough knowledge to route the JAWS cursor and get through it, I was able to figure out how to do it, and I got through it, but when I went to do it again, it was such a small window inside the window, I zipped right past it, and I probably would have been there for another 5 or 6 minutes arguing about it, but when I got back, my son was able to point out to the technician that this gal works with to show him how it highlights so that she would understand too. So I've actually used him in my own experiences here all the time too, and he does a lot of volunteer work at Pluck with me to help some of the students that I've worked with, and he loves playing with some of those big, I never remember the name of them, but they're like the CCTVs where you can stick the dollar bill under the magnifier, and he likes to play with that, and he enjoys showing people with low vision just how much they can do. Even though he has 20/20 vision, he loves playing with my talking toys.
He sounds like a great young man. Tracy, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and with your permission, we'll open the floor to questions.
Yeah, that's no problem. I do have one little comment about my son. He is a great kid, but don't let him fool you. He's still like any other kid. There are still times when we walk down the street and he'll forget to tell Dad on purpose when he's been in trouble that the curb's coming up.
Oh, my goodness.
Tracy, this is possibly a trivial thing, but I had to take notice when you said you used Flipper. I don't meet many people that use Flipper. I thought I had to teach somebody how to use it at a consulting job in 1990. This is Doug Lee, by the way. I don't know if you have the scripts that tell you who I am right away. I just wondered when you used that, because I don't even know when it was popular or when it was most popular. We used it because it was the package obtained by the center where she worked, but I never really knew when it was popular, and I never heard much about it. It's kind of a surprise.
Well, I'm not really sure when it was really popular overall, but I started working at the Pizza Hut in 93, but the Visual Services bought my first Flipper program in 1990, and I used it from 1990 right up until 94, so when I switched over to, which was then called Vocalize, because I had gone to another job temporarily to try it out to see if we could get it to work for somebody, and it was a telemarketing job, and Flipper didn't work that well, so I used Vocalize for a little bit too, I don't use it as much as I used to, but I've even used WindowEyes from time to time just to, so I have a basic understanding of it. If someone wants to learn how to use it, I can show them enough to at least get them started at my current job with Pluck. I'm just a JAWS user because that was the one that I mostly have used over the years, and it's kind of like an old car. You're comfortable with what you use. Now, I'm not going to get into the argument about which one reads better or not, because there's many that both will do better than the other one, and if I could afford the WindowEyes current program, I'd probably run them both, just because I know there are some things WindowEyes does better than JAWS and vice versa.
Tracy, I'm interested. Do you get much of an opportunity, or are you ever interested in watching the movies yourself or listening to the movies?
Oh, I go to the movies now and then. I don't watch them as much now because after 5 years, when you're there 4 or 5 days a week, you just kind of. It's like when I was at Pizza Hut, when I used to live on personal pans, and I've been away from Pizza Hut for almost 10 years now. And even now, when someone orders a pizza, unless I'm really hungry, it's kind of a secondary thought. But yeah, I go to movies quite a bit. I usually go with friends when I have a chance to go, but I usually like to get them on videotape from our state library when they're in descriptive form so I can enjoy them a lot more.
Any other questions for Tracy?
Whoops, I didn't actually mean to do that, but I guess I'll ask. Trivial thing again. I just wondered which synthesizer you used. I was using the Audapter.
When I use my flipper, and I still actually use it from time to time, I have an old Accent. It's a 7-bit one. And I currently, when I'm not using my Eloquence, I use my Deck Talk, and I also use a Double Talk from time to time. It just kind of depends on my mood and what I'm doing at the time.
Well, thank you, Tracy, so much for coming to Spotlight, and great interview, you and Jennifer both. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. We here at For the People and Spotlight would like to wish everyone a very happy holiday. Spotlight will return after the holidays, and we hope you'll join us there in January when there'll be lots more Spotlights.